How you guys doing?
Radio.
Right, how you guys doing? Coming to you guys live from Revolutionary Gospel News. This is Arthur Joseph Smith, the man of God, Joseph Smith. Just like to thank you guys for showing up for the show today. The show I'm having today is called The New World Order and One World Religion. I've been watching what's going on out here in this world and just kind of looking at how the scene is fastly changing for us. And it seems like here in America, we all have this, like, state of sleep going on, because I was looking and reading other articles around the world, and people were talking about our current situation here. You know, they were making jokes and making fun of America, talking about, let's make America great again. They were on RT News. And biblically, I'm looking at this thing two ways, because our country is a country that is going to be a part of this new world order, but it has to go. That reserve currency that is propping up the world, or the world runs off, has to be eliminated for they can bring in that one world order, that one world economic system that the Bible talks about. And a lot of stuff we see in today, we see a lot of the main players out there, but a lot of people are not aware of the scripture, so they look at these people and they don't realize who they are. They don't realize what role they're playing in this new world order, and how the Bible is being unfolded before their very eyes. And I look at the one world religion. It really baffles me as I begin to study. I study for years, and the deeper I get into my studies, the two things I don't understand is church and religion. Why church? Because church comes from the new world order. I mean, sorry, not new world. Church comes from the word. They substituted the word in the Bible, took it out, and put in another Greek word. And the word church itself is really not in the Bible, because the word that they substituted was the word ecclesia. Ecclesia cannot be translated as church. And then it is also contrary to the message that Christ was giving us. I realized that, you know. And the New World Order, looking at the government, I'm looking at the man who's establishing that. But first, just looking at this issue with the church, that one world religion, that if you're looking at my slideshow, you're seeing that man, the one who's at the very forefront of establishing this one world religion, going around the world in his effort to communicate with all these different religions, the mystery of iniquity. People don't understand, you know, when Thessalonians talking about that mystery of iniquity, how it was already at work, how it was already infiltrating the kingdom of God. That's why I say the message that we have today and what Christ is really teaching is two different things, teaching of liberation from this world government system, from religion, which is out of a Greek word, religios, or religion. I'm going to pull some of this up and I kind of got caught up in a conversation where it kind of threw me off my game, where I was supposed to look at these words. I can give you the actual correct pronunciation, but it's a word that comes out of the Greek. Religion means to bind. They bound to man's traditions and customs, not scriptural stuff, because scriptures free you. Religion brings you into bondage. You become a victim, or you become a person who's tied to ceremonial laws that God has done, or Jesus had done away with on the cross, the law of ordinance. You know, you begin to be a ritualistic person. That is what religion is. And they say it's kind of hard to define religion. Once again, there's another word that you don't find in the scriptures. That's a word that they inserted in there, you know. And so same thing with the churches, ecclesia, called out ones, which cannot be translated into church. Okay, so we're looking at that, and I look at the one world religion, one world government system. All this is coming about all at us right now. We're looking at all of this evolving, I mean, coming about today. And I don't know, I'm probably going to have to look at that, because I really want to give you this word, and this kind of shows me that sometimes your environment is very important in the things you're dealing with. The devil has many different avenues to throw you off your game and on the things that you should be focusing on and have you focusing on nonsense. But anyway, just looking at the word, I know the word comes out of a Greek word, and I want to pull that word. I'm messing with my computer, if y'all give me a quick second. I will pull that word religious up for you. And I know the word, without looking at it, just, you know, it means to bind. You know, it's talking about shackles. That's what he was talking about in Colossians. And he's dealing with the actual thing of religion, what it was, you know, where how it comes out of a Latin word. Anytime you have a word coming out of a Latin word, you know there is a Catholic influence in that word. And that is something that's really strange, because everything you see, even down to the word church, and the word is religio. Let me see how it sounds here.
Religio,
which is a Greek word, which means to bind. You know, that's what it means, or to tie to. So it has been in etymology of this word, religion lies in the Greek, in the Latin word, and that's where it comes from. It's not really out of a Greek word, but they have that in there, and it's to bind or to have one shackled to a form of custom and traditions. You know, that's what that's about. You know, and that's something that's not found in the Bible. A lot of people talk about people that are religious. Well, they're bound to a lot of man customs and tradition. That's what they're talking about. And it has nothing to do with God. It has no benefit in the word of God. And even the word church, when you're dealing with the word ecclesia, and I'm not going to be able to pull that one in, but it's kakuskos. Once again, I was never able to grab that. Got to throw it off my game a little bit, but let's not make excuses for today. But bottom line, these words have affected the way we see things when it comes to the word of God. We don't understand the word of God. The word of God is a very beautiful thing. And when you look at the word of God, you have some history in there. You have some prophetic events in there. And then I was looking at the other day because of what Christ's message was. And even back in the Old Testament, when he was talking about Christ, and I believe that's 1 Samuel 7 and also chapter 7 in Chronicles, he was talking about chapter 17 in Chronicles, how he would build his kingdom. You know, it was never a thing that we look at. We say church today. What is church? Can you explain that for me? And my lines are open. If anybody want to call in and make a comment about church, you know, what is your take on it? Because what I see and what the Bible is talking about are two different, very different things. Because in church, the word of God is talking about nationalization. You're talking about becoming a citizen of the kingdom that is to come. You're being taught like this, just like if you wanted to become an American. Okay? There's the process and procedures you must undergo. You must learn their history. You have to learn a little bit about their president. You know, and then, you know, you have to pass the test to be accepted. And that's what happens when you become a citizen of another country. Well, that's what the Bible is doing. So it's telling us how we are to change and how we are to live in the kingdom of God. And I'll give you some scriptures on how this thing is told to you, how you're supposed to do that. So we really are learning to live in the kingdom of God. We're not waiting to be re-educated after the kingdom comes. We're being re-educated now to live in the kingdom. And that's what I mean by when I'm looking at this thing called church, because they're not teaching people really how to live in the kingdom of God. They're not telling them you're getting ready for the kingdom of God. They're not telling them the process of procedure, nor are they aware of how the new world order is taking shape and form in front of them. You know, they don't understand what they're seeing. This man out here going about to establish religion, you know, is in the Latin. He's telling people he's shackling and bounding them to these traditions and customs that's going to make room, that, you know, it's contrary to the word of God, so it's going to automatically make room for the Antichrist. Okay, and I'm in, I went over here to look at David and how God had promised him that he would build his kingdom. The same thing that Christ came, the same, that his kingdom and that Israel has been established to be the ones that dominate the world in this time. You know, it's always been that way from the very beginning. Okay, let me put on the glasses. And I'm actually in Chronicles. People, bear with me. I'm trying to get into this and give you the knowledge. And like I noticed that we go to church, these places we call churches today, and we don't walk away with nothing. We walk with nothing that is conducive or really beneficial for our lives. You know, we're not preparing for the coming kingdom. We feel it's something to do with the day. We go in there, we pay our money to this person, and we really get nothing in return. We're not learning that it is about the kingdom of God, and the Bible talks about perilous times should come, and it talks about those ever learning, you know, always in church, but they never get down to what this message is all about. Okay, because David had wanted to build God a house. Okay, let's look at, I'd like to start verse 8. Start verse 7, chapter 1 Chronicles 17 and verse 7. Said, now, therefore, thus said unto my servant David, because David had wanted to, he wanted to build him a house. The Lord said, the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, that should be ruler over my people, that thou should be ruler over my people. And I have been with thee wheresoever thou hast walked, and that have cut off all our enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name like the name of a great man that are in the earth. And look at this. And I also ordained a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, in other words, he will establish them, and they will dwell in their place, and shall be moved no more. Neither shall the children of the wickedness waste them any more, as at the beginning. And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, moreover I will subdue all thy enemies. Furthermore, I tell thee that the Lord will build thee a house, and it shall come to pass that when thy day has expired, that thou must go to be with my father, that I will rise up thy seed after thee. When he goes, will be with his father. When he goes, another must be with thy father. When David is dead, he said, I will rise up thy seed, which shall be of thy sons, another of their grandchildren, and I will establish his kingdom, talking about Jesus, and he will build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever, and I will be his father, and he will be my son. And this is verse 13 of 1 Chronicles 17 and 13. And I will not take away my mercy away from him as I took it from Saul. In other words, from him, Saul. That's who he was talking about, because you look at, Chronicles 7, you'll see that. I mean, not Chronicles 7, but Samuel. And it says, that was before thee, but I will settle him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever. In other words, this coming kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Like we always see the kingdom, all these government systems come and go. We had the Medo-Persians at one time. They was ruling the known world. And before we had that, we had, before them was Neo-Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. Then there's Alexander the Great after the Medo-Persian dynasty. So these dynasties that come and gone, even like we see now in our time when the USSR has gone, you know, now it's a federation of Russia. Before it used to be the Union of Socialists, the Soviet Socialist Republic. You know, America is fading off the scene. So he's talking about a government system coming, and it shall be established forever. And we're not talking about some church building. We're talking about a government system. So you really are being taught to be a citizen in his kingdom. And there's a process and procedure, because the very first message that Jesus taught, as soon as he came away from Satan, the tempter, the devil, you know, he taught, the first thing he taught was the kingdom of God was at hand. The first stages of that kingdom was at hand, because when you look in chapter 17, it says the kingdom of God should be within you. In the first chapter 17 of Luke, that's what it is at, chapter 17 of Luke, he says the kingdom of God should be within you. And then on the day of Pentecost, they say, and it also in 17, and I'm just paraphrasing because I'm not going to these scriptures. You can always go back and look because it's Luke 17. It talks about it should come without observance on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2. The Holy Ghost filled all the house where they were sitting. And he said it came a rushing mighty wind and just came out of nowhere. Boom. In other words, the Holy Ghost came in, filled all the people, and they began to speak in tongues. When people say, people who are witchcraft believe it's the babbling tongue. But it was a language that all men can understand, because you read through Acts 2, you'll see that they all understood. That was the miracle of the day, because they were hearing the words of God in their language from wherever they came from, whatever nation that it came out of. They were all, the Jews were back together from these different nations that came for that day. And so you see that happening on the day of Pentecost. And then you see them being filled with the Holy Ghost. That was the first stage of the kingdom of God. And then he tells you in John, you know, this is our naturalization. This is how we become a part of this kingdom. This is what you're not hearing today in these places called churches. You're hearing tithes and offering, and God is going to bless you in this here and now. You're not hearing him telling you, get ready, for another kingdom is coming. Not only get ready for that, because the judgment of God is coming upon this world, as we see now, too. And it's John 3:3. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. Notice this, be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't understand the kingdom of God. You cannot see, you're not perceiving that this is what this is about. Born again, becoming a new creation. Then he goes on to tell you how you enter into this, how you become and begin to be part of a citizen of this kingdom and the heir with Christ. Then Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Not into some church fellowship building. See, we're not hearing the true message of Christ. Christ was preparing us, and he was getting our minds ready. You know, that's what he was doing. He was telling us, get ready. And he noticed, he said, the scripture, when he talks about the 10 virgins, that he came for those that were ready. So we are renovating our mind. We're being transformed. We're not being conformed unto the world. And I'm picking up in Ephesians, I'm going to look at the mind thing too, how we're changing to prepare for his kingdom. Ephesians 2:11. He said, wherefore remember that ye being time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at the time ye were without Christ. Notice this. Being alien, you know, you were foreigner, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, the commonwealth being a part of that nation, and strangers from the covenant of promise. You didn't have no covenant relationship with God. And that's part of that born-again experience. That is to enter into a covenant relationship with God. And it tells you that without, say, from the covenant of God, so you're having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ, ye were sometimes were far off or made nigh by the blood of Christ, by his baptism, his life that he gained. For he is our peace, who has made him both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in the flesh the entity, the hostility, in other words, the law of commandments and containing ordinance. See, when you're a religious person, you've been shackled down to ordinance. You don't understand that it's a mind thing. It's a thing. It's a way of life. It's a way of thinking, a perception. When your mind has been conformed to the word of God or transformed, when it's been renovated, then you begin to look at things according to the word of God. You begin to think of things according to the word of God. Okay, and he goes on to say, ordinance, for to make in himself twin, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the entity, the hostility thereby, and he came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. He says, for through him we both have access by one spirit. That is a major problem, people. One spirit unto the Father. So when you're looking at that and you understand the one spirit, how do these people come up with all these different teachings? How do they come up with all these different ideologies? And there's but one spirit. Chapter 16 of John said, when the Holy Ghost has come, when the Spirit of truth has come, it shall guide you into all truth. As I study, I'm not in the ever-learning position. I'm not still talking the same stuff I was talking and not seeing beyond these some words that have been put in by interpolers. I'm not stuck at this thing called religion. I begin to see them, how they're taken away from what God was talking about. I'm not stuck like that. I begin to see, I'm looking at that and realizing that those words have a problem, because one is to bind and shackle, and the other one is talking about Lord's a ruler house. It's a government entity, the church. It's keeping people bound to traditions of men, not the word of God. There is no renovation in mind coming out of these places. Nobody's understanding that you're talking about a nationalization of citizenship in the coming kingdom. But they're always in church, but not coming to that conclusion. It's taking their mind beyond that, because they don't have a spirit, one spirit. That's why you got so many different teachers, because they don't have the Spirit of God. And now verse 19 goes on to say in Ephesians 2 and 19, it says, now therefore you are no more strangers, and look at this, foreigners. See, they make it a pie in the sky story. See, God is making it plain. He tells you there are no more, he said, no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household. I notice fellow citizens, so you're talking about your citizenship in the kingdom to come. These worlds, all these kingdoms all have come and gone, and now we're talking about a kingdom that's coming, that Christ has established by giving his life. He gives you the process and procedure, because you look in Acts 2 and 38 told you to repent, be baptized in water. It said, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. There's the forgiveness of sins, for the remission of sins, and you still receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You are now fellow heirs with the saints of God. The Spirit of God, you've become a part of the kingdom of God. So it said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And so chapter 17 says, the Spirit of the kingdom of God is within you. So that means you have now become a part of the kingdom of God. You are no longer a stranger or a foreigner, but a fellow citizen with the saints and of the household of God, and are built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building is fitly fit together and grown unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Understanding what's really going on, not the stuff we see in these buildings. And I imagine there's some people in there, or they're moving past that, but to really move past that and understand what is going on. In chapter 12 of Romans says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Renovation of mind. See, the new order is coming, but that's not from God. That is just a kingdom, counterfeit kingdom, that they're going to unite the world under. Your Pope King of Revelation is going out. It's written in reversal verse 11 is really where it really would be the start of the story, because the Pope is the one who introduced the Antichrist to the world. He's the one who's going to introduce this new economic system that involves the Vecchia. And he's going to bring together all religions, all those things that are binding and shackling the people under one binding and shackling, which is going to be the Antichrist and him. Chapter 13 talks about the mark of the beast. Chapter 14 of this is Revelation. Revelations, chapter 14 talks about Babylon the Great is fallen. Okay, and then it goes on to say right after that, does any man receive the mark? And I'm paraphrasing. You can look at that in the scriptures yourself. 14 of Revelation, and you see a new economic system has emerged. But for us, who are of God, We're still waiting on the arrival of his physical kingdom. His spiritual kingdom came on the day of Pentecost. So now we're waiting the physical arrival, but before we can get there, we must go through these times. Our book of naturalization telling us how to transform our minds by the renewing of our minds, really understanding and learning to see things in a different light, seeing things according to the word of God. The process of getting in the kingdom starts with water baptism in Jesus' name. You've got to be baptized because that's where the blood is applied to your life, the remission of sin. He washed us, Revelation 5, in his own blood from our sins. So the blood is found in Acts 2:38. But that start our naturalization, we'll receive the Holy Ghost, because that means we have been accepted into the kingdom. Then we have to our minds have to be transformed, because we begin to learn the word of God and how it becomes a way of life, not a way of talk, a dance, or act. But we begin to see and perceive life according to the word of God. He's not waiting till we get to the kingdom to change our minds. He's renovating our minds now. So when he comes, he will be ready. You'll be ready to go into the next kingdom. When he put an end to all these world kingdoms, because this is one more kingdom coming, and that's the new world order with the one world religion system. It's going to be worshiping the Antichrist. And then the kingdom of God is going to come. It's going to take the kingdom from all these other people, like it spoke of in Daniel. All these other world rulers are going to be put down. It's a thousand-year millennium reigning with Christ. And then this kingdom has no end. So there will be nobody else to supersede this kingdom. This kingdom will last forever. And that's what we're dealing with, people. We're not dealing with some of the stuff I see out of there. It baffles me. Because I don't understand when I look at what they're doing now. But as I understand truth, I understand how they ever learning. You know, they're always in church, but they don't come to this very knowledge because they don't have the Holy Ghost. In Romans 8 tell you, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You don't have no part of our kingdom. You don't have the Spirit of Christ in you. And if you don't, you need to find a place where you can be baptized in Jesus' name and be one of them builders they call church. And if not, I suggest you take a friend and help say, hey, man, we don't seem to have no building, no place. Take a place, find a little water, a little part of your pool or a river by you or a little beachfront property, whatever, and baptize one another in the name of Jesus Christ. The biggest thing about that is it says calling on the name. So you're calling that name out over somebody, that blood is applied to their life. You got to baptize one another, because today we live in a world where it's hard to find any place to get that done at. So I know God would honor that. And I thank you guys for coming out to my show. I ask you guys to go out and get my books. One book is called, the first book is called The Revival of the Roman Empire, The Rise of the Antichrist, Return of Christ. You'll find that on Amazon. And same with the other books called The Devil Workshop. And it is The History of the Church and the Rise of the Cult. And my third book is called Caliphate, Rise of the Islamic Nation and Temple Mount. And all these books can be found on Amazon. And that's Temple Mount. The last one's talking about how the Antichrist will rule from Jerusalem, sitting in the Temple Mount, showing himself as he is God, as it talks about in 2 Thessalonians. And once again, I thank you guys for coming out. This is Joseph from Revolutionary Gospel News. And you guys have a great evening. I hope it's been informative for you guys. You guys have a great night. Evening.